In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love one another. We hear these words from the Gospel of John, and our minds may think, do unto the others as you would have them do unto you. Or, love your neighbor as yourself. As people of faith, we've heard this before. As a community of faith, we do this already. All through our scriptures, in some form or another, this is the basic message. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbors as yourself. From the giving of the Ten Commandments, from all the Gospels to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, with the chapter known as the love chapter, in some form or another, the message of love is there. Love for our neighbors, love for the outcast, love for the poor, love for the sick, and love for all of God's children. All through our scriptures, the challenge is there. Loving all despite not agreeing on beliefs and practices. Loving all and recognizing the image of God found in all of God's children. Loving all even when we want to draw lines and ask questions about who is in and who is out. So why do we need another scripture telling us to love one another? We understand and try to practice love in all that we do. We try to let this basic message of love be our centering point in our faith. So why is this new? Why is John sharing this verse as if he has some groundbreaking, life-changing message? To really understand John's meaning behind this new commandment, we as people of faith must take a step back and see the big picture, see the big scene that surrounds this new commandment. And when we do this, we find ourselves on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. Jesus has gathered all the disciples in the upper room. He knows what lies ahead, what tomorrow will bring. He knows that one of those closest to him will betray him. Jesus knows that the one he knows as Peter, friend, disciple, always impetuous, always impulsive, always ready to follow along, will deny him three times before the morning light breaks. He knows that when the guards come to take him away, that all his disciples will scatter. He also knows that while he is hanging on the cross, looking out on the crowd, his disciples, those closest to him, will not be there. On that night in the upper room, Jesus knows that darkness is closing in and threatening to break the bonds of the community of believers. In spite of knowing all these things, Jesus invites his disciples to break bread with him and welcomes them to the table. And because of all these things, he tries to prepare them for what lies ahead, letting them know that they will not be alone, showing them love, showing them grace, showing them the true meaning of love. During this meal, he gently washes all the disciples' feet and says, this is how you will show the world God's love for them. As disciples, all of you will be servant leaders, tending to the hurts, serving all of God's children, celebrating that the power of love is found in its generous nature. Jesus invites and welcomes all his disciples to God's table, even the one who would betray him, even the one who would deny him. Jesus invites all the disciples to God's table to experience grace, to experience unity, and to show them how much he loves them. Because despite the betrayals, despite the denials, despite the broken relationships, Jesus loves them even to the end. Jesus loves them in spite of their betraying actions, in spite of their hurtful words, and in spite of their expressions of denial. Jesus loves them completely, unconditionally, wholly. Jesus sees them as children of God, recognizes that they are connected. Jesus sees beyond all these divisions and celebrates that he loves them by inviting them to share in the bread and the cup with him. Everyone was welcomed, the believers, the doubters, the betrayers, the ones that would deny him, the ones that would scatter, the ones who would watch from a distance. This is a new commandment: love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John wants us as people of faith to ask ourselves, how does Jesus love us? He died on the cross for us. John wants us to continue to ask, how does Jesus continue to love us? He sees all of us as beautiful, named, and claimed children of God. John wants us to think about the first time we heard these beautiful, simple words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. John would agree with us when we say that this commandment is not new. It is not a new teaching. It is not a new rule of faith. He would also say that what is new about this commandment is how we are shaped by the life and death of Jesus Christ, how we are shaped by Jesus' example, how we are shaped by the love that Jesus showed for us as his followers. We've heard the words before, and now we have the example. Now we understand how far love will go and does go. Now we understand how we are to love one another by following Jesus' example. We are to love another despite the betrayals, despite the hurt words, despite the broken relationships. We are to love as Jesus loves us, completely, unconditionally, wholly. Despite the walls we put up, despite the broken relationships between our communities of faith, despite the denials we sometimes bring, John says that Jesus loves us and will continue to love us to the end, completely, unconditionally, wholly. And that is the love that we are called to reflect, to live out as disciples of Christ, to live out as the body of Christ here on earth. And what better news to bring, or what better example to share with a world that is hurting, broken, divided, and that is in need of grace and love right now. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen. Amen.